Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I feel a little breeze. That's felt nice.
Because,
we should maybe open more windows. Because it's cool outside. It's cooler outside than it is in here.
It's already all open.
Everything's open.
Oh.
Okay. It's like, all right, good. Well, let's start by taking a moment to pray for each other. Juan Fu Malia. This morning we talk about the vow of obedience. When I speak about all of these vows, I want to give you a deeper insight into the meaning of the vows.
当我们谈这几个圣愿的时候，那神说愿意给我们呢，这个圣愿的深层次的意义。As
we described, the vows follow this way of perfection through purification and illumination and union.
当我们谈到我们说圣愿是透过我们说净化的过程。 凝露的过程以及和露的过程去达到成全。Our
original experience of the vows may be especially that way of purification, the things that we have to deny ourselves.
那我们在圣愿的初级阶段，可能我们认为的这个净化的过程，那就是弃绝自己。But
I'm hoping that my reflections help you also to gain some illumination and to see the beauty in the vows.
神父愿意帮助我们的就是透过这样的一个过程，然后我们看到我们的圣愿生活就是突然间好像被照亮了一样，然后我们去理解我们圣愿的积极的意义。And
so I speak about the ideal of the vows.
今天我们就谈一谈呢，我们这个理想的圣愿。But
I want to make sure that I'm also realistic about the vows as well.
那当然，神父也同时还要谈一谈，就是更，我们说更现实化的，我们说怎么样把我们的圣愿活出来。And
then I also realize that the ideal and the real ultimately only come together on the cross.
当然我们说现实中和理想中的圣愿两者的结合只有在十字架上才能有完美的结合。But
in my desire that we are speaking about the vows realistically, I also will welcome your questions.
当就是神父从现实的角度去谈圣愿的时候, 那这个过程仍然是欢迎大家提问题。There
are various practical concerns, and I want to encourage you to ask if you have any particular questions, not right now, but later on.
当然不是马上啊，什么说就是后，以后就是每天在讲的时候，
神父都鼓励大家，如果在讲圣愿，我们说从这个现实的角度或是实践的角度去讲的话，你们可能会有一些具体的问题，所以这样呢，大家就可以提出来。
Why do we make a vow of obedience?
那我们为什么宣发服从圣愿呢？
The original sin was an act of disobedience.
大家都知道啊，是我们说这个原罪，就是因为他在实践的过程中，也就是在生活中，他选择的是不服从。
Adam and Eve did not trust God, and they were disobedient to his command.
亚当和厄娃他并没有把自己就是托付在天主的手中，而选择的是自己选择就是不服从。他选择的是不服从天主的命令。
The devil convinced them that God's command was a way for him to control them.
魔鬼也就借这个机会，就是告诉亚当和我，就是就确认这件事啊，说你看，天主让你们做的这件事情，其实天主就是想控制你们。
The devil convinced them that they could not trust God, that he did not want the best for them.
也就是说，魔鬼在继续怂恿他们，就确认说什么呢？天主为要做的这些事情，不是为你们的好处。
And so they chose to disobey God's command and to grasp at independence.
所以他们选择的是不服从天主，然后呢，去
What is the next?
They grasped at independence.
Okay. 然后他们就是把持住这个叫什么呀？我自己要独立。
They believed that
就是牢牢抓住自己要独立的这样一个想法。
They believed that it was not safe, or it was not to their advantage to be dependent on God.
Not believe.
They believed, yeah.
他们相信，我们说是亚当厄娃，他们相信什么呢？就是离开天主，或者是自己独立的生活，这样的话会更安全。
The result of their disobedience to God is that they also broke trust with each other.
那他们对天主的抗命，就是导致了彼此之间的不信任。
So their disobedience not only destroyed their relationship with God, but it destroyed the first Christian community.
那我们说这个抗命或是不服从，它不仅是破坏了人与天主的关系，同时也破坏了基督徒之间的关系。
Before the original sin, they were naked without shame.
在我们说原罪之前，他们就是赤裸的身体，但是从来不会感到羞辱或耻辱，不会感到羞耻。
But after sin, they covered themselves because they realized they could be used by each other.
但犯罪之后呢，他们把自己就是盖起来了。那盖起来之后呢，他们可以就是彼此
cheat each other.
They could be used by each other.
然后呢，就是他把自己盖起来之后呢，就是彼此利用，就是他可以利用对方。
And so they did not feel safe with each other.
就是在他们对方的面前都不感到，都感觉不到有安全感。
And so the path of redemption and salvation is also a path of obedience.
那我们说救恩的历史，同时也就是告诉我们是一个服从或是听命的历史。
St. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Romans. That
圣保罗宗徒就是谈在圣，在致罗马人书里面谈到。
He says that the disobedience of the original sin has to be overcome by obedience.
也就是说原罪的这个不服从的就是违抗天主命的这个罪只能靠服从天主命的战胜去服从天主去战胜
Jesus accomplished this through his obedience and he made it possible for us to follow in his footsteps
也就是耶稣基督使这件事情就是说天主的救恩得以完成就是靠着他的服从让我们能够跟随他的脚步成为可能
All of this gives us some insight into the reason for obedience
那刚才神父给我们的这些那就是我们说服从的理由是什么
Obedience is a matter of trust and of love
那服从我们讲的是信任和爱
It's easy to obey someone that we trust someone who loves us
如果说你能体会到这个人是爱你的你很容易对他有信任
Because we knowthat when someone loves us, they won't command us to do something that will hurt us.
如果你知道这个人是爱你的话，你很容易听从他让你去做的。
And this is what God wants us to restore, wants to restore with him, that we renew our love with him.
那这就是天主为什么想让我们就是恢复我们，他对我们的爱，或者说我们对他的爱。因为他借着这样一个启示，让我们在他内的爱的更新。
He wants to win back our trust, and he does that in Jesus.
他渴望就是我们就是再回到他那里的信任，就是借着基督，我们再次回到天主，我们对天主的信任当中。
And he also wants to heal the wounds in Christian community.
那当然，天主也愿意在治愈基督徒团体的创伤。
And this happens by healing the broken trust that we have with each other.
这个就是借着我们彼此之间的这种伤害。
He heals. There's broken trust between humans, and so he wants to heal that too.
因为天主就是愿意治愈因为人类之间的这种不信任导致的创伤。
And this is where we understand the importance of obedience in our Christian communities.
这就是我们理解的，什么是我们基督徒的，我们基督徒的服从是什么。
Ultimately, we want to develop a mutual obedience with everybody.
我们同时呢也要发展彼此之间的听命我们就听听命
Saint Benedict talks about this in his rule
圣本笃在会规里就谈到这一点
He speaks about the obedience that we need to have with the abbot but then also obedience between all of the monks
圣本笃就谈到了关于听命，就说听命是听从于会长，但同时呢，也要彼此在团体的成员之间的听命。
This is a very high ideal, but it is also a picture of what heaven is.
当然这是一个我们是非常高的理想状态。但是也就是说在天堂上的形象我们说天堂上的这个画面也是这个样子
In heaven there is perfect mutual trust between everybody and God and everybody with each other
也就是说在天堂上是什么样呢就是彼此之间的信任和对天主的信任就是相互之间的信任
So obedience is another way that our religious communities become a little taste of heaven.
这也就是说为什么修道的团体他们可以预先尝到天堂的滋味呢? 就是因为借着这种彼此的信任和爱。
And ultimately, this is the healing for the whole church, that the whole church becomes a place of mutual obedience.
那这就是在教会中，为什么教会能够成为一个相互服从的地方。
St. Paul begins and ends his letter to the Romans by talking about the obedience of faith.
圣保罗宗徒在他致罗马人书的开始和最后都谈到了在信仰中的服从。
The obedience of faith teaches us about how important faith is in the context of obedience.
那信仰中的服从就谈到这个重要性，信仰中服从的重要性就谈到了在一个具体的情境中的这种服从。
We can speak about faith as containing an element of trust.
我们说，当我们谈到信仰的时候，这个一定包含信任的这个因素。
And so when we talk about the obedience of faith, we are talking about an obedience which involves trust.
就是我们谈信任也好，我们谈服从也好，那这个里面不可或缺的因素，我们在信仰中谈这个的话，那是一定要包含信任。
And St. Paul says at the beginning of his letter to the Romans that he was made an apostle in order to build up the obedience of faith among everyone.
那圣保罗宗徒在致罗马人书的开始，他就谈到了这一点，也就是说，为了教导宗徒们，他们之间彼此互相的服从。
An apostle is a bishop. The bishops are the successors of the apostles.
当然，我们说这个宗徒是什么？宗徒是
the successor, the bishop.
Bishops are the successors of the apostles.
我们说这个主教就是宗徒的继承人。
And so St. Paul was a bishop, and his authority was meant to help build up this obedience of faith.
那圣保罗宗徒就是教导，无论就是教会的，我们说刚才讲这个教会的承继人，那你也叫在真理中，在信仰中的服从，对他信仰上的服从。
In other words, St. Paul understood that if the people could trust him, his leadership, his teaching, they would be able to trust God more as well.
那也就是保罗宗徒的意思是什么呢？如果你们能够信任，就是承接宗徒位的主教的话，那同时呢，也是对天主的信任和服从。
This is not because St. Paul thought that he was God.
这个呢，并不是说保罗认为自己是天主。
But he trusted that God wanted to work through his apostleship to build up this obedience of faith in people.
因为他深深的理解，天主愿意借着他建立这样的一个基督徒团体，是借着服从而聆听天主。
And he trusted that even when he made mistakes, God would work through his mistakes.
但是他同时也信任天主，哪怕就是在他犯错误的时候，天主也会借着他的这个错误去理解。
How to put this? Yes, through his mistakes, but through his mistakes, and God is still working.
That's right.
Yeah.
就说哪怕就说他是犯了错误，在他的错误中还一直有天主在继续工作。这意思就是说，在我们的错误中，就不是说天主就不管了，就是无论是谁也如此，我们就是在错误中，天主继续他的工作。
Okay, I just make sure the translation is. Bless you.
Thank you. I have to. I want to reflect for a moment on how obedience helps to form unity in a community. There are a lot of decisions that need to be made in a community.
当然在团体中有很多的需要做的决定。
And many of them don't involve divine commandments.
有些人就是在祈祷的时候，就是念日课的时候没有参与，或是不在参与祈祷，或是参与你们的日课祈祷。
So I want to give you a very silly, simple example.
神父现在给大家一个听起来就是比较愚蠢的这个例子。
Imagine that in your convent, you need to paint the walls.
Paint.
And then you have a question, what color should you paint the walls?
然后你的问题是什么呢?
Somebody has to make a decision about what color the walls should be.
那可能有的人他需要做这决定，就是决定这个墙应该涂成什么颜色。
This can be an opportunity for discussion and reflection.
那这个就可能是一个你们讨论的机会。
And the opportunity for each sister to express her ideas is an opportunity to build trust.
也可能是每一个人表达自己的意见，然后呢，每一个人你们可以建立彼此信任的机会。
And the ideal would be that the community comes to a decision in a unified way.
那当然，这个理想化的方法就是什么呢？你们大家一起讨论，讨论出来之后呢，有一个就叫统一的结果。
It's the responsibility of the superior to watch over and help this discussion.
那会长的责任呢，就是在这个问题上他去观察，然后呢，就是鼓励大家呢，有这样一个讨论的气氛。
But it might happen that one sister really wants red walls and another sister really wants blue walls.
那有可能啊，就是你们其中的一位修女，她就想我想把那墙涂成红的，那另外一个说呢，我想把它涂成 green or blue.
It doesn't matter. Two different colors.
就是你当然我们说涂成不同的颜色的时候，你想涂成红的，我说我认为涂成蓝的或绿的比较好。
And if we get stuck in this discussion, then we start to waste too much time.
当这两个人，比如说啊，你就坚持自己的观点的时候，你们的讨论就没法继续下去了。所以这样呢，大家觉得在一起，这不就是浪费时间吗？
The discussion would take away from community and preaching the gospel.
也就是说呢，这项我们说这个讨论啊，以后在这个修会中可能就不太容易了。
And someone needs to make a decision. Someone needs to make a decision.
然后呢，就是在这个过程，可能就是有另外的人来做决定。So
this is where a superior, we're happy we have a superior. Someone can make the decision. The walls are going to be purple.
所以为什么我们说修会需要有一个会长呢？那就是在这个情况下，比如说这两个人这不是一直在僵持不下，第三个人又怎么样吗？所以需要有一个会长，他来做最后的决定。
So the point is that there are many decisions that have to be made. The best is when we can make them together, but ultimately someone has to make a decision.
这个要讲的神父举的这个例子的重点是什么呢？就是说我们有很多的讨论。 但是讨论的过程可能就是每个人都有想法，都有决定，但最后就是决定这个事情的时候，大家一起。 一起来讨论之后做出来的决定。
And in many of the decisions, there isn't a perfect answer.
当然有的时候，这个做的决定是一个很好的很好的决定。
I have my preferences and someone else has their preferences, but there's no perfect answer.
那当然，每一个人都有一个侧重点或是侧重的东西，但是呢，没有一个答案是完美的。
And so again, someone has to take responsibility and make a decision.
所以在这个过程就需要有一个人负责来做决定。
And this is where the superior provides a service to the community.
这就是会长他要提供，就是要给大家在团体中做的服务。
The superior should be responsible and try to make the best decisions.
那会长就要作为一个负责任，做最好决定的人。
But the blessing of obedience is trusting that God will work through the decisions.
那我们说我们的服从呢，就是信任天主在这个过程中的决定。
And ultimately, all of those decisions can become an opportunity for unity.
如果是这样的话，那我们的这种决定就可能会成为我们在天主内结合或是一个团体共荣的机会。
When we exercise the vow of obedience, the whole community can be unified around the purple walls.
当我们就是在服从中能够在服从中共荣的话，那可能就说，比如刚才我们还说涂墙这事儿啊，就说这个墙涂成什么颜色的，这个就成为最后的决定了。比如像会长说涂成紫色的，那就成了大家的决定。
So superiors always exercise authority in the service of unity.
那会长他的服务的权威呢，就是要把这个团体带向共荣。
We are going to focus on the vow of obedience rather than deciding what superiors should do, but I wanted to start with that overall picture.
我们今天要就是要讲的呢，重点是服从，而不是讲会长应该做什么样的决定，这是今天我们要讲的重点。
I think we can all appreciate that it is a very difficult task to be a superior.
当然我们有时候也要感恩呢、啊，我们的会长，他们做的工作是那么的艰辛。
And they need our prayer more than they need our criticism.
他们更需要我们的祈祷，而不是需要我们的批评。
I want to say just one last word about authority from Pope Francis.
现在神父要谈一点啊，就是关于权力或是权威的来源的问题，是从教宗方济哥的观点。
When he chose some new cardinals, he sent them a letter.About the authority that was being entrusted to them.
当教宗就是选举枢机主教的时候，他给枢机写了一封信，就是关于权威或者是权力的时候。
He told them that becoming a cardinal was not an award that they were receiving, but rather a service.
Not a word.
Not a reward.
Okay.
他给枢机写信呢，就是说这个，你领受了枢机主教的这样一个职务，不是你得的回报，或是不是说你得到的一个荣誉，但这个是你应该服务的，这是接受的一项服务的职务。
He said it is a service that requires a broader vision and a bigger heart.
那这个服务呢，就是要求你有一个宽广的视野 和一个宽大的胸怀。
He said it requires them to love more universally and with greater intensity.
这个也同时也需要你一个有普世情怀的心去爱，同时呢又有一个强烈的去爱，强烈的渴望去爱。
And this is one of the places that we can see how difficult it is to be a superior.
这也是我们从这一点可以看啊，就是成为一个会长，他有多么的不容易。
The superior has responsibility for the whole community.
因为会长他对所有的修会团体成员或者对修会，他有责任。
The superior has the responsibility to love each member of the community.
他有责任去爱团体中的每一个人。
And the superior has the responsibility to have a vision for the whole community.
他也同时需要对整个团体有视野。
And one of the blessings of not being a superior is that we don't have to have so much responsibility.
那对我们每一个人来比较有福气的是什么呢？因为我们不是会长，所以我们呢就不需要有这么广泛的视野。
I know that somebody else is taking care of my monastery right now, so I can focus on speaking with all of you.
神父就是他自己啊，说在他们的修会，你看他们有人做会长。所以他把这些事情全部都照料了，所以呢，他自己呢就有时间，比如来中国给大家讲课。
So the fact that someone else is a superior frees us to focus on our task.
也就是说呢，有人做会长，就让你从这样一个这个繁重的，这个我们叫任务中解脱出来，然后你集中精力。做你现在能做的事情。
Pope Francis encouraged those cardinals that the only way they can fulfill their task is the way of lowliness and humility.
那教宗方济各也鼓励这些枢机们，就说如果你们的服务能够圆满实现的话，那只有谦卑自己。
They develop a broader vision and a bigger heart by lowering themselves.
也就是说呢，你们如果说需要，在你们有广阔的视野和宽大的胸怀上有所建树和发展的话，那你必须要谦卑自己。
And so he asked them to accept the appointment with a simple and humble heart.
也就是说。邀请书记们，你们要领受或是接纳自己的这种谦卑的心，接纳自己要有一颗简单质朴谦卑的心。
So if any of you receive the unfortunate burden of becoming a superior, maybe you can remember that as well.
所以大家可能还记得啊，就是我们比较幸运的，就是我们没有领受。会长这样的一个艰难的职务。
So I want to look at the vow of obedience through these different perspectives that we've used already.
我们现在呢就要讲一讲从不同的角度或是不同的幅度谈谈服从愿。
And the first is to look at obedience as an imitation of Christ.
我们先从效法基督的这样一个幅度来讲，服从。
The obedience of Jesus already started from the first moment of his incarnation.
我们说服从的话，就是从耶稣基督的这个我们叫道成肉身这一时刻就开始了。
In Galatians chapter 4, it says, In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman.
在圣保禄 宗徒之加拉达人书的第四章里边就提到了，就是时期已满。
And so he started his life as obedient to his mother.
Is Galatians still?
No.
No.
That's my elaboration.
Okay.
So he started out obedient to his mother.
然后呢，就我们就是一直在谈效法基督嘛，就是基督的这个服从，就是首先从他的母亲，对他母亲的服从。
We could say that there is no greater obedience than the obedience of the womb.
我们可以讲啊，就是说没有任何一个服从比从母胎中或是母腹中就开始服从更大的了。
When Jesus was in the womb, he went wherever his mother went.
那就是当基督耶稣还在他母亲的胎中的时候，也就是说，圣母去哪儿，耶稣就跟着去哪儿。
And he was totally dependent on her for his food and drink and air.
所以说，在那个时候呢，耶稣基督完完全全就是依靠他母亲的吃的、喝的。
As a side note, I think it's a beautiful image for any of you who have made a Marian consecration.
我们说，对我们每一个人来讲，这都是一个非常好的一个，就像一个肖像一样啊，就是圣母的这个奉献。
It's beautiful to reflect on our lives.As being in the womb of Mary. Saint Augustine said that every Christian is in the womb of Mary until he's born into eternal life.
Okay. 这个就像圣奥斯定说的啊，就是说每一位基督徒都在圣母的我们说叫什么？在圣母的胎中诞生。
It's a beautiful reflection on Marian consecration.
所以这个就是对我们每个人来说，就去想，就说你看看圣母的奉献。
And then, as a baby, Jesus is totally dependent on his parents.
那当就是耶稣出生之后，就是也是一个孩子，也是完全依赖于父母，依赖于母亲。
It's interesting in these pictures, of course, we see Jesus in the womb of Mary.
大家我们看这幅画啊，我们说这个耶稣在圣母的胎中。
And we might think, first of all, that he has no choice. He's
我们可能会想到啊，你说在这个时候的耶稣他是没有选择的。
But the reflection of the church also gives us this image of Jesus who is willingly in the womb of Mary.
如果说就是从教会的角度讲的话，你看看这个耶稣这个时候的形象，就是特别愿意，好像就是有一种那种动态的。
We see the same thing in these pictures. Jesus seems very helpless here.
我看看这幅画。就这种情况下，看着耶稣特别的无助。
But then the wisdom of the church is also that somehow the little baby is willingly involved in this obedience.
Disobedience.
This obedience that his parents are the ones who are welcoming all these people, and he's.
大家看这个画面啊，就是当耶稣的父母就是欢迎这些人们的时候，就是你看他的这种服从。
It's a theological reflection. Yeah.
当然，这是一个就是有神学意义的一个反省的题目啊。
So just like this picture of him in the womb, like he's, so he's not just
no choice. No, he has choice.
He's right, exactly.
这两个就是做比较。你看刚才我们说，看见那个耶稣在圣母的胎中的那个，就是怀孕的圣母那个样子， 就是耶稣那个时候他没有选择，相对就是比较被动的，对吧？所以说在这儿你看看这小耶稣就是很主动的，你看他那个手放到那个谁的头顶上。
It's beautiful. We can also see the obedience of Jesus in the presentation in the temple.
我们从耶稣献于主堂的这样一个例子，我们再看耶稣的服从。
His parents offer him to God.
那他父母把他献给天主。
And he accepts all of this.
他接纳了所有的这样一个现实。
I thought I had another picture there. Guess not. This obedience of Jesus to his parents lasts until he turns 13.
他对父母的这个服从啊，一直持续到他三十岁。
In Judaism, at age 13 with the bar mitzvah, a young man gains some independence.
那根据犹太人的习惯啊，或是习俗的话，那这个男子就到了三十岁，那他就是完全的独立了，独立于父母了。
And Jesus makes this transition from his earthly parents to his heavenly father.
那耶稣在这个时候呢，他也就是有这样一个过渡的过程，也就是说，服从他世间的父母到服从天上的父亲的这样一个过程，这样一个过渡。
It's an important point for us.
兄弟有什么问题？ Okay, repeat this again.
就是耶稣不是在三十岁之前嘛，就是按照法律，按照他们犹太人的这个习俗，就是服从他这个世间的父母嘛。然后到了三十岁算是成人，然后他独立出去之后，那基督就是他在三十岁之前服从他这个世间的父母的命，然后这个过渡的过程呢，就是他开始公开的传教，就是服从天父的命，是这个过程。
It's an important note for our own spiritual life that as we grow independent from our parents, we grow more dependent on God.
其实这个过程呢，就跟我们灵性生命的成长是相似的，因为我们比如说在早期可能也是更多的依赖于家里或是父母，那后来就是随着我们的越来越长大呢，我们更多是依靠的是天主。
But it's okay.
It's okay.
But something very interesting happens when Joseph and Mary find Jesus in the temple.
那有一件事情就是比较只讲的三十岁之前又回到啊，就是耶稣在圣殿中，圣母和若瑟发现他在圣殿中的时候。
Mary says, "Your father and I were searching for you with great anxiety."
圣母对耶稣说你看你的父亲和我那么焦急的在找你。
Jesus explained, did you not know I must be in my father's house?
耶稣就反问他的母亲说你不知道我应该在我父亲的家里吗？
But then Jesus understood something at that moment, and he decided to be obedient to Mary and Joseph.
其实在那个时候耶稣已经就知道了他应该做什么，但是呢他还是服从圣母和若瑟。
He went back with them to Nazareth and he was obedient to them.
他和他们回到了拿撒勒，还是服从父母。
He remained obedient to them all the way through, or obedient to Mary all the way through the wedding feast at Cana.
我们说耶稣对圣母的服从，就是除了这些之外，那还有就是尤其在迦纳婚宴中表现出来的。
We We can see his obedience to Mary and Joseph in this picture.
我们看看就是耶稣，服从圣母和若瑟的这样一个。
We can see Mary taking him by the hand.
你看看圣母啊，就是抓住耶稣的手。
She takes him, but he goes willingly.
也就是说，虽然说圣母抓着耶稣的手，但是呢，耶稣是愿意，也就是说心甘情愿的跟随。
And his obedience to them is so radical that he completely disappears for 17 years. His hidden life.
17.
Yeah, from age 13 to 30.
Oh, yeah.我们看就是耶稣的这个服从啊，这是讲道的时候是12岁、13岁，那一直到12岁，一直到他30岁的，就是这么17年，那耶稣都是以这样一个就是很听命的方式在父母的面前生活。
And then at the wedding feast at Cana, Mary says they have no wine.
在迦拿婚宴上，圣母对耶稣说：“他们没有酒了。”
Now she is asking him to manifest who he is and begin his public ministry.
那圣母呢，就邀请耶稣呢，就在众人面前就是展示、显示出来他是谁，因为他的这个公开的传教就要开始了。
Jesus says first.What is this to you? My hour has not yet come.
当然，这个耶稣对他说什么？我的时间还没有到。那这个意思就是说，这和你有什么关系呢？
But ultimately, Mary initiates his public ministry and says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you."
那圣母对他的这个有我们叫什么叫私席的那些人说你们去做他让你们做的。
And now something changed, and he was no longer obedient to Mary.
那我们看看这个事情就发生了变化。
No longer.
那从那儿以后啊，我们就看到就是耶稣从那儿以后再也没有听从圣母的。
After this, when Mary came to him, to try and intervene or to stop him, he said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?"
他就看就是在他公开传教的时候，大家记得那个就是他们说圣母，你的母亲找你呢。他说什么？谁是我的母亲
？In fact, at this point, Mary really becomes obedient to him.
所以从这一点上去看，那在圣母就是听从的是耶稣，他对耶稣的服从。
Maybe we can think of our own religious communities how.We change superiors.
但在这个过程呢，可能我们会联想到，我们也可以啊，可以联想到我们，自己的团体，当我们这个就是会长的交替的这个过程。
The one who used to be the superior now is the one who has to be obedient.
当这个人曾经是会长的时候，那他现在就是被要求服从，被要求也是以听命。这样一个态度去接受。
And Jesus' obedience now shifts to the Heavenly Father.
那现在就是说基督，就是耶稣他的听命已经转向了，或是移向了听天主父的命。
As a little bit of a side note, there's another beautiful point in this story about obedience.
那我们当讲这个关于这个故事，就是说我们说听命的故事，在这里有一个很有趣的事情。
Jesus tells the servants to fill the stone water jars.
耶稣告诉这些仆人们说：“你把这个叫什么？把那缸填满，装满。”
Each of the stone water jars holds 20 gallons.
就是每一个缸里边都能盛20加仑的水。
So they're very big, really. Maybe it's a It's not easy to fill them all the way up with water. It's very heavy. But the scripture tells us that the servants were very obedient. It says that they filled the jars all the way up to the top. And they had no idea why they were filling these water jars. But they were obedient to Jesus, and the greater their obedience, the bigger the miracle.
也就是说,他们服从了,就是听了耶稣的命之后, 但是比听命本身更大的奇迹就发生了。
If their obedience had been only halfway, they would have only had half as much wine.
假如说如果他们这个听命,比如说我们说让他把缸填满,他们就填了一半的话, 那可能这个奇迹就发生,他们这个酒只有这个缸的一半。
It's a good encouragement for us to be generous with our obedience.
所以这一点呢,就是鼓励我们,我们在听命上的慷慨和大度。
God can work greater miracles with greater obedience.
也就是说天主可以借着我们的服从实行更大的奇迹。
And then as we look at the public ministry of Jesus, we see the way that his obedience reveals the Father to us.
那我们在看耶稣公开传教的时候, 他, 对天父旨意的服从。
He tells us that he receives everything from the Father.
那他告诉我们, 他从天父那里领受了所有的。
And he came to do the Father's will.
他来的目的就是成行天父的旨意。
So that when we see him, we see the Father.
就是当我们看到他的时候, 我们就是看到了天主。
He says he doesn't do anything on his own. He only does what he sees the Father doing.
他也告诉我们说, 我从来就不是凭我自己做什么, 我就是做的都是我从我父亲父那里领受来的。
He says, he who hears me, hears the Father.
他也同时说, 听从我的人就是听从父。
So part of Jesus' obedience is revealing his heavenly Father to us.
也就是说,耶稣的服从就启示给了我们天父是什么样子。
We can say that he makes himself transparent so that we can see through him and see the Father.
因为他让他自己就变得透明。 所以说呢,我们借着基督,借着耶稣,我们就可以看到父是什么样。
This is a blessing for us in our own obedience. We become more transparent.
这也就是对我们来说一个祝福,就是什么呢?当我们服从的话,就是我们听命的话,让我们自己就变得透明。
There's a beautiful story in the life of Saint Benedict.
这有一个就是非常美好的故事在圣本笃身上。
Two of his monks were named Maurus and Placid.
有两个会士啊,就本笃会的会士,一下我翻译不出来的两个名字,
Maurus and Placid.
Placid. Maurus and Placid, 我翻译了两个名字,我们记住了两个人,有两个人就行了。
Who knows how they were called in Chinese.
Yes.
And one day while Maurus was, St. Maurus was talking with St. Benedict,
我们说这个圣人之意啊,去和圣本笃谈话的时候,
St. Benedict had a vision of St. Placid drowning in the river.
圣本笃呢,他是有一个预象,就看到他是不是两位圣人其中之一啊, 就是另外那个呢,说好像他掉河里了。
And St. Ben... Drowning, yeah, in the river.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And St. Benedict said to St. Maurus, your brother is drowning, go and save him.
然后他对另外一个护士说你看 你兄弟掉河里去了你去救他。
And St. Maurus ran out some distance and grabbed Placid and pulled him to safety.
然后这个圣人之一呢就去跳到河里就把他抓起来给他救上来了。
And then as St. Maurus came back to St. Benedict, he realized that he had just walked on water.
当他去给他救上来，然后他就是告诉圣本奴嘛，说我把他救了。他说一看，他也只是就是在河里走了一圈。
And St. Maurus said to St. Benedict, "Your command is so powerful that it made me walk on water."
然后就是这个圣
Maurus
这个圣 Maurus 他就对这个谁说啊对这个圣本奴说你看你的命令太有力量了他说呢我竟然能在水上行走
But then St. Benedict said No, your obedience is so great that you were able to walk on water
这个圣本奴对他说什么呢说是因为你的服从使得你能够在水上行走
We can see from this story how obedience protected Maurus.
我们就看看从这个故事看，说服从我们或者是听命是怎么样保护了这我们叫圣人这个 Marson.
Maurus had just done something miraculous, but he didn't become proud.
Didn't.
Did not.
Okay. 虽然你看我们听起来好像他做这个事情多了不起啊，但是他。没有因为这个事情感就觉得自己很骄傲。
He knew that he could not walk on water on his own, but only in obedience.
但他知道，说我自己凭着自己的话，我是不能在水上行走的，只有借着服从。
So obedience makes us more transparent. It's easier to see God.
也就是说，借着服从，我们更容易。让自己变得透明，这样呢，我们就是能够看到天主。
And obedience also keeps us humble.
同时呢，我们说听命也让我们自己保持谦卑。
In fact, Saint Benedict says in his rule that the first step of humility is unhesitating obedience.
就像圣本奴在会规中提到谦卑的第一步。也就是说，当服从的时候，你不要；当你要听命的时候，不要犹豫。
Why don't we take a little break?
Sure.、Uh-huh. Yes, I'm super.
神父问大家都回来了，是吗？神父问大家，就是刚才讲的这一部分，有什么问题吗？你知道为什么是每次都问大家问题吗？他就是看看我们是不是真的思考了，因为这是我们的这个文化不同啊。我们可能大概就是习惯于觉得，哎呀，我们问那么多问题，觉得我怎么什么都不懂啊，可能有这种感觉。但国外的人一般都认为，只要你问问题，他觉得，哎呀，你是真的认真在思考，把我讲过的东西都当成，就去慢慢消化，而且不懂的就及时问。这个是真的是非常积极的一个学习的方法，所以为什么神父每次都鼓励大家问问题？因为你这个问题可能是你一个人的问题，也可能是很多人的问题，所以这样是一个彼此我们都有帮助，都问一些问题啊。所以大家不要觉得哎呀，我这个问题问的听起来多傻呀，不要有这种感觉，就鼓励自己，有问题就问。
This question is in terms of obedience. If 你再稍微解释一点所谓这个不合理。
就是可能有些事情，怎么说呢？可能不是一种特别。
他们后边的，你们后边人能听到这问题吗？
能。
Good. 好。
说呢？可能就是 可能自己没有那样的一个能力，或者是自己本身不具备那样的一个条件，但是掌上还是让你做这个事情的话，你会就是觉着可能自己本身没能力去做，那我们还跟掌上说了以后，然后还是要去服从吗？这个事情还是怎么去面对？
The obedience, if the superior gave us an order, a commandment to do what we cannot do, or maybe I think I have no ability to do that, but the superior said you have to do that. How can we reconcile between obedience and disobedience?
Yeah.
But from the heart, we don't want to obey. This kind of
it's a wonderful question, and I'm going to cover that.
Yeah.
神父现在就是说这个问题非常好，他接下来就要讲这个问题。
Yeah. It's coming.
这个问题马上就开始讲，我马上就要讲这个内容。还有其他的吗？神父就是在等大家再问其他的问题，没关系，大家可以自由问任何想问的问题。我们可能就是自己脑子里固有东西太多，哎呀，我问这个问题，我怎么问？这个话说的是不是符合逻辑？等等，不要想这些。你看美国人，我们在这读书的时候，哇，一举把手机两个手都举起来，抢着回答问题。所以，真的，大家就是主动的问一些问题，因为这个时间我觉得机会都比较好，有机会大家多问一些问题。
I
just introduce your so gifted person. This is a very good opportunity for sister to ask more questions.
还有我想问，就是这个服从，它是不是不是一种机械式的服从，而是说在服从的时候是把这个爱和情感都要把它放在其中，然后我们去服从。
It's also in terms of obedience. It's not just obeying commandment as a slavery. It's when we obey obedience to the superiors with love and affection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming to that too. That's an excellent question.
他说这个问题都非常好，但是他还是这些东西都要包括在他马上要讲的内容里。
Okay. Well, why don't we continue and we'll just get to those things.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Okay.
So we'll just continue looking at some points with obedience, and then we'll take more questions at the end.
那我们现在就是
continue.
Yeah, and I'll take more questions in an hour or so.
神父还会继续回答大家的问题，如果大家有问题问的话，没事，我们可以就是一边想一边听，然后再随时问问题。
So we can continue looking at the obedience of Jesus.
那我们现在就是在从我们讲服从，看看就是基督的服从。我们这一段还继续啊。
Jesus was obedient to the law.
那我们说基督耶稣也服从法律。
We can see the humility of Jesus, since he is really the one who created the law.
我们从这一点是可以看到啊，看基督是多么的谦逊，或者我们的谦卑，因为他本身法也基督，我们说本身基督就是法律的创造者。
This makes me think of when a founder of a religious order becomes just one of the sisters.
这个呢就联想到了我们比如说某一个修会的这个。创始人。
Become a what?
Just one of the regular sisters.
The founder?
Yeah.
The founder become a regular sister.
这就是我们想到了，就比如说我们有某一个修会的这个创始人，他呢也就成为了一个就是在他们修会里一个普普通通的修女。
in this order of Franciscans that I've showed you a couple of times.
因为神父给大家不是看了几次了吗？就是圣方济各修会的，看他们的那个照片。
This is the foundress here.
大家看到吗？就是神父用鼠标点到的那位修女，就是他们这个修会的创始人。
But she's no longer the superior.
她呢，就不再是会长了。
She wrote the constitutions.
他们的会宪就是她写的。
And now she has to be obedient to them.
但是呢，她现在不再是会长，她也要服从她的会宪，也要服从她的会长。
So it's a very beautiful thing, really.
所以这就是刚才神父提到的，是这个修会的创始人，他就成为了他们修会的普通的修会的一员。
When Jesus became a human being, when the Son of God became a human being, he was obedient to the law.
那我们说基督成为人，也就是说天主的第二位圣子成了人的时候，他也服从了法律。
Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day.
他在基督第八天的时候受了这个割损礼。
According to the law.
也是按照法律的要求。
And he was also redeemed in the temple on the 40th day, according to the law.
他在四十天的时候献到圣堂，有一个耶稣就献主于圣殿，这也就是根据法律的要求。
Jesus followed the law about going to Jerusalem for the major feasts.
也就是说，他每次去耶路撒冷过这个大的我们就节日的时候，也是按照法律的要求。
And even one year, when his life was in danger, he still went to Jerusalem for the Passover.
就是尽管他后来他就是他的生命处于危险的时候，他也仍然去耶路撒冷过逾越节。
Jesus also celebrated the other Jewish feasts.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you. We know in John chapter 7 he celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles.
我们说在若望福音的
which chapter what?
7.
在若望福音的第七章里边，耶稣去耶路撒冷过叫什么帐篷节吗？帐篷节。
But Jesus also understood the deeper meaning of the law.
因为耶稣理解这个法律的深层的意义是什么。
And so he challenged the interpretation of the law by the Pharisees.
他同时就是去挑战法利赛人，就怎么样去解释法律。
He observed the Sabbath. But he also asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?
他遵守安息日，但是同时呢，他也会去质问他们在安息日去治病是合法的吗？
And when the disciples were hungry and they picked grain on the Sabbath, Jesus defended them.
当就是他的门徒们就是在饥饿的时候掐麦穗的时候，耶稣不是也来维护他们吗？
He knew that it was lawful to feed the hungry on the Sabbath.
因为耶稣知道，就是在安息日的时候，让饥饿的人吃饱是合法的。
And he challenged the Pharisees' understanding of the Sabbath by saying, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice."
所以当耶稣就是提出向法利赛人提出挑战的时候，就是在安息日的和安息日治病或者是保育饥饿的人是合法的时候，他说什么呢？我要的是仁爱而不是祭献。
Also in obedience, Jesus accepted the civil authority.
就是我们说在谈到耶稣的这个服从的时候，也谈到了我们说这个社会的权利，就是社会这个我们叫社会上的权利。
He accepted Pilate's condemnation.
你看在比拉多审判他的时候，那耶稣也接受了这样的一个现实。
He recognized that Pilate's authority came from God.
那同时呢，他也承认比拉多的权力也是来自于天主。
He said, "You would have no power over me if it did not come from above."
如果说你的权力不是来自上边的话，不是从上而来的话，你根本对我没有任何权力。
He knew that Pilate was an evil and unjust ruler.
尽管耶稣知道这个比拉多他就是一个，并不是一个正义的，统治者。
But Jesus still accepted his authority.
但是呢，耶稣还是就是接受他的这个权力或者是权威。
And of course, that authority caused Jesus to suffer and die.
那当然就是这样一个权力呢，导致了耶稣的，受苦和死亡。
Jesus knew he could call down 12 legions of angels to protect him.
那当然耶稣也知道，就在这个时候，他可以就是呼唤天上的这些天军们来保护他。
But instead, he surrendered to Pilate's authority.
但耶稣还是就是屈从于比拉多的权下。
We also know that Jesus sometimes struggled with authority.
那当然，我们在圣经里也知道啊，耶稣和这个权力的之间的这种叫抗争。
We see that most clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane.
我们知道这个呢，就是在格泽马尼山园的时候。
Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done."
那这个时候，他向天父讲的就是这一杯离开我吧，但是按照你的意思，不要按照我的意思。
Jesus also struggled on the cross and cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
就是在十字架上的时候，耶稣也是大声的呼喊，对天父说：“我的天主，你为什么忘了我？”
And during his public ministry, he told his disciples several times that he must suffer and die.
就是在他的公开传教的时候，耶稣也几次对宗徒们讲，他必须要承受痛苦，然后去死亡。
We can wonder why he told them several times.
有时候我们会想，他为什么告诉他宗徒们就是几次呢？
Certainly, he told them to help prepare them.
那肯定的一点，也就是说，耶稣在告诉他们，在准备自己。
But maybe he also told them because he was looking for their support.
其实就在这个过程，就是耶稣告诉他们的过程，那也可能就是希望得到宗徒们的这个支持。
In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them to stay awake and pray for him.
在格泽马尼山园的时候，那耶稣就是对宗徒们说：“你们醒悟，陪我一起祈祷吧。”
So in all of this, we can see that Jesus accepted authority, but it wasn't easy.
所以在整个就是我们看到这几个过程啊，就是耶稣接受了这样的一种权利，但是呢，这些权利对耶稣的，就是对这些，就是耶稣接受这些权利，或是接纳这样一个现实，并不是很容易的，
so,
是很挑战的。
So as we look back, As we look at all of these examples from the life of Jesus, we can learn some lessons.
当我们看看耶稣整个的这个生命和他这些故事的这些事迹的时候，那我们也可以从中学到什么？
First of all, we learn that our ultimate obedience is to God.
那我们第一点从他身上学到，也就是说，我们要，自然而然的，我们服从的就是天主。
We also learn that obedience flows from love and trust in God.
那第二点， 那我们学到的就是我们的服从是来自于对天主的爱和信任。
And God's authority is exercised by some different groups like our parents, civil law.
那有时候我们说天主的权力的实行可能会借着比如说社会的某个团体或者是我们的父母。
And so out of obedience to God, we are also obedient to other authorities.
也就是说出于我们对天主的服从，所以呢我们也服从于这些执行权力的人，拥有权力的人。
When we are young, we are obedient to our parents.
当我们小的时候，或是我们很年轻的时候，那我们服从父母。
We are also obedient to civil law and church law.
那我们同时呢，也服从社会的法律，同时也服从教会的法律。
We could also say that we are obedient to reality.
有时候我们也可以讲啊，我们也服从我们的现实，我们或者叫接纳现实。
That's the kind of obedience that we have when the weather is very hot outside. We don't like it, but it's reality.
那这个现实有时候会告诉我们，比如说，那我们说外边的天气就是那么热，这并不是我们渴望的，但是我们也不得不接纳这样一个现实。
And in some way, we are obedient to the realities of our bodily limitations.
那我们另外的现实呢，就是，接受我们自己，这个身体的所限，或者说接受我们自己身体的限制。
Jesus needed to eat and to sleep. He had to take care of his body.
So we just say, Jesus, he also needs to eat, he needs to sleep. So he needs to care for his body.
When we understand authority, we always have to keep in mind the supremacy of charity.
When we talk.服从的时候，那我们这个就是也需要就特别注意的是，爱的。
And that's what Jesus did when he chose to heal on the Sabbath and to feed his disciples on the Sabbath.
那这就是耶稣选择在安息日的时候，他治愈那些病人，同时呢，也就是说呢，让那些个。饿的宗徒们、门徒们吃饱。
We also learn from Jesus that obedience can cause us to suffer.
我们也可以从耶稣身上学到，他的服从导致了他的受苦。
Sometimes we have to submit to authorities that we don't like.
也就有时候呢，我们不得不就是屈从于我们并不喜欢的权力。
We can think of Joseph in the Old Testament and the way he described his own suffering.
我们就是从古经里边就是看古圣若瑟他的所描述的他的故事和他的痛苦。
Joseph told his brothers, you had evil intentions, but God intended it for good.
若瑟呢对他的哥哥们说，说你看你们当时的这个想法是很邪恶的，但是呢天主借着你们的这个邪恶的想法产生了对我产生了一种叫什么积极的结果。
And we also learn from Jesus that it is okay, it is good to cry out to God when it is hard and painful.
那对耶稣来说什么呢？当他的心灵感觉到痛苦的时候，那就是向天父的呼求。
It's okay to tell God that this is not what I want, But I want to do your will.
然后他告诉天父, 这不是我想要的, 但是我要做你想让我做的。
And we can cry out to God like Jesus did on the cross.
那我们在这个时候就像耶稣在十字架上向天父呼喊的一样。
We can ask God why he has let this happen to us.
那我们可以向天主说, 你为什么让这样的事情发生呢? 为什么这个事情发生在我身上呢?
I want to look now at the obedience of Mary.
现在我们看看就是圣母的服从。
Mary submits totally to God's will.
那圣母也把自己就是完全屈从在天主的旨意下。
At the Annunciation, she says, "Be it done to me according to your word."
那在领报的时候，圣母领报的时候，圣母最后的回答就是说，按照你的旨意，在我身上成就。
She did not know all the details of what she was accepting.
因为她也不知道，圣母也不知道她这个细节，就是她要接受的或是领受的到底是什么。
But she accepted and trusted with all her heart.
但是她接受了，同时领受了，用她整个的身心接受和领受了。There
were some immediate dangers. By accepting, she could be suspected of adultery.
那直接的危险就是什么呢? 她可能被人认为或是怀疑她犯有通奸的问题。
And she did not know if Joseph would accept her decision.
因为她也不知道若瑟，圣若瑟是不是接纳这样一个现实。
But she was obedient to God first.
那她首先选择的就是服从天主。
Then she also became obedient to Joseph.
她的服从呢，也就是另外的，我们讲圣母服从的第二点呢，就是她服从圣若瑟，就是或者对圣若瑟的服从。When
Joseph woke her up in the middle of the night and said that they had to leave, she trusted him.
当就是。 若瑟在睡梦中醒来的时候，那他对圣母说：“我们得离开。”那圣母在这个时候呢，就是信任若瑟。And
after some years in Egypt, when Joseph told her it's time to go back, she trusted him.
也就是在他在埃及生活了几年之后，那若瑟告诉他说：“这个时间差不多是该我们回去的时候。”那这个时候，圣母也是信任圣若瑟。
Mary is a greater saint than Joseph is.
当然我们说圣母和圣若瑟都是这种，我们说伟大的圣人。
But Mary was still obedient to him.
但是呢，我们说圣母还依然，服从于圣若瑟。
And Mary also accepted the obedience to reality when they faced hardships.
讲圣母服从应该是第三点啊，就是圣母就是当她在面临困难的时候，这个对现实的接纳或者是服从。She
accepted that there was no room at the inn, and she gave birth in a stable.
就是当她要生耶稣的时候，那个地方就是那个旅馆里边没有地方。
And then we can see, and then Mary also accepted obedience at the cross.
那另外就是后来一点啊，最后一点，圣母就是接纳耶稣钉在十字架上的这样一个现实。When
Jesus entrusted her to John, she accepted this command.
当耶稣把圣母托付给若望的时候，那圣母也接纳了。
And so, as we try to live out our vow of obedience, we can always turn to Mary for help.
当我们谈到我们的服从的时候，那我们也同样 可以转向圣母，求圣母的帮助。
When it is difficult for us, we can remember that it was also difficult for her.
那当我们有困难，在服从中有困难的时候，我们也要想到，圣母在这个过程中，她也是有很多的困难。
And then we can look at obedience through the perspective of friendship with Christ.
我们再从另外一个角度，我们从和基督的关系的角度，或者从和基督友谊的这个关系上看我们的服从愿。
In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If you are my friends, do what I command you."
就像若望福音第十五章提到一样，如果你是我的朋友，那就做我命令你所做的事情。
So we see that obedience is part of friendship with Christ.
我们看到就是服从，也是和基督友谊的一部分。
And we see how obedience is a matter of trust.
也就是说，服从。也就是关于和信任有关的事情。
We can think of how easy it is to be obedient to someone that we really trust.
我们可以去看啊，当你很信任的人的时候，很信任的这个人，你就很容易服从他。
Because we know that a real friend will not tell us to do anything that will hurt us.
因为我们知道你信任的这个人或是我们真正的朋友他不会去做任何对你有伤害的事情。
We can think of the friendship between David and Jonathan in the Old Testament.
我们可以从古经里边看看这个约纳堂和达卫他们之间的这个友情。
And David trusted Jonathan with his life.
那达卫对约拿堂非常信任。
Depending on the sign that Jonathan gave him, David would choose to meet with Saul or not.
那当约拿堂给达卫就什么记号的时候，就是达卫完全依赖于，就是约拿堂给他什么记号，他是去见撒乌尔还是不见，他就按照这个去做。
And that way we see that.David was obedient to Jonathan.
所以在这种情况下，那达卫是，听命于约纳堂的。
And we can reflect on how obedience is part of God's plan to reform us all together into the body of Christ.
那我们也可以看看，就是借助服从愿，天主是如何把我们就是。形成或说联系在一起的，就是建在一起的，为了形成就是建树基督的身体。
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Saint Paul gives us this image of the church as the body of Christ.
那在圣保禄宗徒之格林多前书的第十二章里面就提到关于建树基督的身体。
We can think of how important obedience is in our own bodies.
那我们就是在这里呢，圣保罗也提到了，就是关于怎么样，就是建树我们自己。
When our hand is not obedient, or our eyes are not obedient, we suffer.
也就是说，我们自己的身体，如果说我们的眼睛、我们的手彼此的这种不服从的话，那我们可能就要受苦了。
The body cannot function properly without obedience.
所以说我们的身体如果没有彼此之间的这个服从的话，那你这个身体根本就不能够工作了。
We can imagine how strange it would be if our left hand and our right hand and our left foot and our right foot all did their own thing.
我们就是可以有时候也可以想象啊，就是你的左手和你的右手他都做自己想做的事情的时候，那我们的身体会变成什么样子。
Or we can imagine if our heart and our stomach and our lungs decided to take the day off.
我们也可以想一想说 我们的心脏我们的肺啊以及就是我们的各个器官那行今天我不工作了我休息一天我们想想看它会是什么现什么样什么现象
But this is what it's like when we choose to be disobedient
所以这就是说当我们如果选择不服从的话那就会是什么样
In our prayers we are part of the heart of Christ
也就是说呢我们这种情况下也就是说呢把耶稣基督的肢体已经就四分五裂了
And in our service to the poor we are the hands of Christ
也就是说在这个时候呢
Our service to the poor we are the hands of Christ
所以当我们在服从的时候那么我们 服务穷人的时候我们就是在用基督的手去服务穷人就是我们服务的时候和耶稣一起服务穷人
And when we share the gospel we are the mouth of Christ
那当就说我们在去和别人分享福音的时候那我们就是在用基督的口去在传输传就我们叫传播福音
But when we are selfish and disobedient, the body of Christ suffers.
当我们不服从的时候，那我们说基督的肢体就会受苦，基督的身体就会受苦。
When we are obedient, the body of Christ thrives.
当我们服从的时候，那我们说基督的这个整个的身体或者肢体，他会觉得那种叫什么？就充满生机那种更有活力
One of the joys for me in coming to China has been to read more of the history of the missionary work in China
神父讲自己的经验啊就是他来中国为我们服务的这个喜乐之一呢就是他去读那些个传教士就是曾经他们工作的历史。
I'm so amazed at Matteo Ricci and other Jesuit missionaries, how they learned Chinese and understood the culture.
所以尤其像从利玛窦以及那些个耶稣会的会士们，他们来到中国服务的时候，他们怎么样学中文，学习中国的文化。
But they really worked together beautifully under obedience.
那他们这些耶稣会的会士们就是一起在服从的这样一个前提下一起工作
The Jesuits make a special vow of obedience to the Pope
那当然耶稣会他们也发了一个特殊服从教宗的誓愿
We can look at obedience also in a spousal perspective
我们再从这个我们叫敬佩的角度去看我们的服从愿
And a beautiful guide for us is in Ephesians chapter 5
我们看的对我们一个非常就是美丽的这样一个引导啊就是俄弗所
Ephesians 5
俄弗所书的第五章
Maybe somebody could read verses 21 to 33.
第五章的第二十一到三十三节，我们哪位姐妹你们找到读一下？第五章二十一到三十三节，找到了吗？
找到了。
公读至罗马人俄弗所人书五章二十一节又要怀着敬畏基督的心互相顺从你们做妻子的应当服从自己的丈夫如同服从主一样因为丈夫是妻子的头如同基督是教会的头他又是这身体的救主教会怎样服从基督做妻子的也应怎样事事服从丈夫你们做丈夫的应该爱妻子 如同基督爱了教会，并为他舍弃了自己。
33节，
以水洗，借言语来洁净他，圣化他，好使他在自己面前呈现为一个光耀的教会，没有瑕疵，没有皱纹或其他类似的缺陷，而使他成为圣洁和没有污点的。做丈夫的也应该如此爱自己的妻子，如同爱自己的身体一样。那爱自己妻子的就是爱自己，因为从来没有人恨过自己的肉体，反而培育抚育他，一如基督之反直对教会，因为我们都是他身上的肢体。为此，人应离开自己的父母，依附自己的妻子，二人成为一体。这奥秘真是伟大，但我是指基督和教会说的。总之，你们每人应当各爱自己的妻子，就如爱自己一样。至于妻子，应该敬重自己的丈夫。以上是天主的圣言。
We could express this as be obedient to one another out of reverence for Christ.
那我们表达这一点呢，就是出于对基督的这个尊重或是爱啊，我们彼此服从。
And we see how marriage is a kind of model for community life as well.
从这一点上我们也可以看，我们说婚姻生活呢也可以是我们团体生活的一个榜样。
The superior is in the position of the husband.
我们有时候可能会说这个会长，你所处的这个位置就相当于一个丈夫在家庭中的位置一样。
AndAs St. Paul says, we must be obedient to one another out of reverence for Christ.
那我们说彼此的服从，它是出于对基督的服从。
So the superior also has to be obedient to Christ.
所以作为会长，他首先是要服从基督。
But then we see the different roles. The husband has a different role from the wife.
So we just 看到这个角色。那我们说，作为一个丈夫，他对妻子有什么样的角色，是什么样的责任呢？
Neither one is better than the other, just different.
当然，每一个人都有，不是说哪一个好或是不好，但是每个人都有不同的责任。
And they serve each other.
因为他是为了彼此服务。
The husband is called to sacrifice himself for his wife.
那丈夫呢，他被召叫于为了妻子而受苦。
It's much easier to serve someone who is sacrificing himself for us.
那这个对我们来说就是什么呢？我们牺牲，不是受苦，是牺牲。我们说你为了服务别人而牺牲自己。
So we see the model of the superior to lay down her life for the community.
也就是我们看到一个什么样的榜样呢？也就是我们的会长为了服务我们的团体而牺牲自己。
And then the wife is also obedient to the husband.
也就是我们看到这个妻子的责任在家庭中，那也就是为她服从丈夫。
And all of it happens out of mutual love.
那这个呢，就是出于彼此之间相互的爱。
And the result is that the community is sanctified and purified.
那我们说这个团体的净化和圣化，圣化团体的净化和圣化的结果。
That she becomes without spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
那这就成为一个我们说是没有瑕疵，没有皱纹的这样一个团体。
And that's part of what happens also through our obedience.
那如果是这个样子的话，那可只有通过我们的服从才能够达成。
When we trust, even though it is difficult, we are purified and made holy.
那我们的信任也只有透过我们的净化才能够达至圣善。
And St. Paul encourages us to see the community also as being united in one body.
就圣保罗宗徒也鼓励我们，这个团体也就是像结合于一个身体一样。
He says that the husband should take care of his wife like he takes care of his own body.
这里边就说的是丈夫那他照顾自己的妻子就像照顾自己的身体一样。
And the superior also needs to take care of the community like she takes care of her own body.
也就是说会长他就应该照顾团体就像照顾他自己的身体一样。
And also the body needs to be obedient to the head.
那也就是这个身体也必须要服从这个手的安排，是我们说手是头啊，是服从这头的安排。
So I think it helps us to look at obedience in this marriage context.
当然，这个我们看看婚姻的这样一个环境一个情境啊，这个也帮助我们在团体中的服从。
Sometimes we think of obedience too much as being just a legal thing.
有很多时候呢，那我们认为在团体中的服从可能都是关于这个，涉及到跟法律或者是合理与否有关系的事情。
But when we look at it in terms of marriage, we see that it is a matter of love and life.
当我们看婚姻的这样一个婚姻团体的这样一个模式的时候，那它出于的是信任和爱。
And there can even be something a little bit romantic about obedience.
那从这个角度我们看起来的话，这个服从也是有一点浪漫的味道。
Obedience can be very vulnerable. It can be a big risk.
那当然，服从同时也是一个很软弱的，同时也是很冒险的。
And there is something romantic about taking a risk out of love.
我们说这个浪漫呢，就是你去爱的话，也是需要冒险的。
So I want to just talk about some of these details now to come to the questions that were asked at the beginning.
现在呢，神父给大家谈一谈，就是一些细节的。
In canon law, it says that we have to be obedient first of all to the supreme authority of the church.
在教会法里边就谈到啊，教会法谈到我们，要服从的首先是
the church.
我们服从就是教会的最高管辖。
And in particular, we have to obey the Pope as the highest superior.
也就是说呢，我们要服从教宗和最高的长上。
And so there's always this, and the Pope has to obey God, and he has to also obey God's revelation.
那当然了，就是说教宗他是要服从天主。服从天主的启示。
So the Pope does not have authority to change the Ten Commandments.
我们说教宗他没有权利去改变天主十诫。
And the Pope does not have the authority to change the dogmatic teaching of the Church.
同时教宗也没有权利改变教会的教义和教导和训导。
So the Pope is also obedient.
因为教宗本身就是一个服从的人。
And our superiors are obedient to the Pope and to God.
那当然也就是说我们的会长他或是我们的长上他也必须是服从教宗和服从天主的人。
And then another canon in canon law speaks about the obedience that we are required to have.
这也是在教会法里边提到的，关于服从所要求的。
It says that obedience must be lived out in a spirit of faith and love.
那我们说服从呢，你必须生活在信德。和爱德中，就是在信和爱中生活。
And that we
服从。
And that we should look to Christ as our example. He was obedient to death.
因为我们要看基督的这样一个榜样，他服从至死。
And so it requires a submission of our will to our superiors.
也就是说，要求我们把我们的意志。就是屈从于我们的掌上。
They stand in the place of God when they command according to our proper constitutions.
如果他根据我们就说是恰当的会现给我们的命令的话，他就是站在天主的位置。
So there are a number of interesting points in that canon that we can look at.
我们可以从教会法里边有几点都提到了关于服从的问题。
One is that we need to cultivate a spirit of faith and love.
这个就是我们需要就是培育我们在信德和爱德中的服从。
And we need to keep getting inspiration from Jesus's example.
我们也要求我们从基督的服从的榜样中获得力量。
And we can see how much he suffered in obedience even to a bad authority.
那我们看看基督的服从，哪怕就是在这个我们说这个邪恶的当权者面前，基督的服从。
He was obedient unto death.
那基督的服从，服从到死。
And then another point that it makes is that we have to make a submission of the will.
我们现在就是讲的我们的意志啊，就是我们把我们的意志就是屈从在或者说是顺服在我们的掌上下。掌上的命令下。
Jesus submitted his will to Pilate's condemnation.
那耶稣呢，就是把他自己的意志也交付在了比拉多的这个判决下。
In other words, he made the free choice to accept this decision.
也就是说呢，他做了这样一个自由的决定，接受这样的事实。
But he did not make a submission of his intellect. Intellect, mind.
耶稣把他的这个服从就是交给这比拉多，他并没有说是真的，我头脑里我就交给你了。
He did not force himself to believe that Pilate was making a just decision.
他也没有强迫自己就去接受或者是相信这个比拉多这样的一个权利。
He did give himself totally over to this decision.
所以基督做的是他把他自己的全部都交付于比拉多的这样一个判决中。
He accepted the suffering and he didn't complain about it.
他接受了这样的痛苦，但是他没有抱怨。
But with his mind, he did not agree with Pilate. He allowed faith to see what God was doing.
His mind.
With his mind, his intellect. He did not agree with Pilate.
尽管就是耶稣在他的这个比如说头脑里边，当然他知道这个比拉多的判决是不公正的，他并没有说提出了这种抗议，虽然在他的这个头意志里边没有认为比拉多这个判决是正义的。
He allowed his mind to be enlightened with a vision of faith to see what God was doing.
但是呢，他的这个头脑就是这个理智上，愿意用天主的光来去看比拉多判决他的这件事情。
He did not accept the decision of Pilate because he felt he had done something wrong.
因为他接受比拉多判决的这个事实，并不是因为他真的做错了什么事情。
He accepted the decision of Pilate because he felt that God was calling him to offer everything in sacrifice.
他接受比拉多对他的判决，是因为他知道天主要召叫他所做的事情是什么。
So sister asked at the beginning if we need to do more than just carry out the command of the superior.
就是刚那会儿我们问的那个问题一样啊。
No, sister over here. She asks.
你问的第一个问题是什么来着？我忘了。就问那个就是情况是不是比如说他会长给你的那个命令就是不合理的。
So, to answer that question, we need to carry out the command willingly. And give ourselves totally.
神父现在回答这个问题的这句话就是呢，我们把这个会长给我们的命令，就是你带着他给你的这个命令，心甘情愿的去接受。
But it does not mean that we need to agree with the superior necessarily that.It's the best thing, or.
这个并不意味着你认为会长给你做的这个决定是正确的，或者是说呢，你并不一定认为说你给我做的这个决定是最好的，或者是说呢，我可以不同意你给我做的这个决定。
Instead, we need to look with eyes of faith and see what God is doing, even through.A bad command.
也就是说呢，这就是要需要我们透过信仰的眼光去看天主要我做什么，哪怕就是你给我的命令是一个不好的命令，我要透过信仰的眼光去看天主要我做什么。
And as I said, the superior can only command according to the proper constitutions.
就像刚才神父提到的，在教会法里边的啊。就说会长给的这个命令要根据我们就说这种叫恰如其分的会宪所发出来的。
As I mentioned yesterday, in our constitutions, I have the right to live at home in the monastery.
那就像昨天神父提到了，比如说他们的会宪里边就包括就说我写了我就住在这个修会。
My abbot does not have the authority to force me to live in a parish.
也就是说，他的会长就不能够要求他，或者说是强迫他，你别住在这个修会了，你住到堂区去吧。
But he does have the authority to tell me that I have to clean the toilets at the monastery.
It's not your job.
Well, it's not right now, but he has the authority to make that my job.
也就是说，你比如像说他说的是自己的例子，说他的会长第一个不能派他去堂区去住。另外，也就是说呢，当他现在比如有这种教书的工作，你不能说那你回来吧， 你来刷厕所吧。
这个
就说你会长没有这样一个权利来这么做。
And I might think that that's a bad idea, but I should still clean the toilets as best as I can.
那当然，如果说
I might think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, the last one is.
But I should still do it as best.
Is he have this authority ask to clean toilet?
He does. Yes.
He does.
我刚才翻译错了。这个神父的意思是什么呢？就是说。他有权利，他没有的权利是不能强迫神父，比如说我在修会住，你让我去堂区住，这个是不可以的，他没有这权利。但是他有权利，比如现在你在这儿做工作吧，你回来刷厕所，他有这个权利让你这么做。但是呢，虽然这件事情就是跟教书比起来不是一件好事情，但是呢，你可以透过这件不是的好事情看到天主的意思，同时也就是说，我在比如说我真的刷厕所的话，那我用最大的努力把厕所刷得很干净，这是刚才神父说的这个意思。所以我要给大家就是更正一下啊，不要让大家在这上有歧义理解上。
Okay, I just explain because I translate wrongly. Because you说 that your superior has authority.To ask you to clean toilet, I said, he doesn't have this authority.
You sure he does.
Yes, so this is very different.
Yes, very good.
So, 我跟师傅就是把这个就解释一下，因为刚才这句话是翻译错了。
There's a beautiful example of this with Saint Anthony of Padua, the Franciscan.
那这个例子呢，就是跟。我们说这个 Padova 就是意大利的这个安多尼的例子很相似，就是刚才提到这个。
Saint Anthony was brilliant and well educated before he joined the Franciscans.
圣方济各会的这个安多尼呢，他是非常的聪明，同时呢也是受了良好教育的一个人，就是在他入修会之前就受到了这样的良好教育。
When he joined the Franciscans, he went to preach the gospel in Africa, and he got very sick.
他加入修会之后呢，他就去了非洲去传教，但呢，到了非洲之后他就病了。
So they sent him back to Italy, and he was assigned to one of the friaries.
然后他从非洲就被送回意大利，送回意大利之后呢，他们的修会。就给了他一个任务，就是把他就放到他们的一个
one of the houses
就放到他们方济各会的一个会院里。
And the superior had no idea who he was.
这个会长就是他们的这长上根本就不知道他是谁。
So he assigned him to work in the kitchen.
他就被分配在厨房工作。
And he worked in the kitchen for 10 years and did it as best as he could.
他在厨房工作了十年，而且就是说尽了最大的努力做他能做的事情。
He didn't do any studying or any teaching or any preaching.
就是他在工作的这段时间从来没做过比如学习啊研究啊讲道啊等等都没有。
And he never complained about this. He never protested against the assignment.
他从来没有抱怨过，从来也没有反抗过，说你给我这样的工作让我做。
But one day the bishop came to ordain one of the Franciscans.
突然有一天呢，就是主教去祝圣，方济各会的一会士。
And he asked Saint Anthony to preach for the ordination.
就是在祝圣之前，他们就是邀请圣安多尼去给他们讲道。
And Saint Anthony, with no preparation, preached so beautifully that everybody was deeply moved.
就是在这个圣安多尼没有任何准备的情况下，他就去讲道。但是他的讲道是那么的深刻，同时有很多的人都受到了感动。
And suddenly the superior realized how brilliant and gifted Saint Anthony was.
那这就刹那间了，他们的会长就 意识到了，说圣安多尼是这么样一个聪明的人，是这么一个，这叫我们说是一个天赋的人。
The superior told Saint Francis about Saint Anthony.
然后他的会长就对圣安多尼说。
And this is a very important moment because Saint Francis had no trust in education.
这就是什么？因为整个这个我们说这个他们的会祖圣方济哥，他并没有让他们的会士们去受教育或是读更多的书。
Saint Francis's experience of educated people was that they were all filled with pride.
因为圣方济哥他认为呢，这个你们受了良好教育的人，大多数时间都是挺骄傲的。他认为啊，他认为是这个样子。
But in Saint Anthony, he discovered that someone can be very educated and also very humble.
那在圣安多尼身上呢，他就发现了。一个受了良好教育的人是非常谦虚的，这两个是可以同时存在的。
And because of Saint Anthony's humble obedience, Saint Francis allowed his Franciscans to study.
那其实这对圣方济哥的整个的修会是一个转折点，因为圣安多尼的这种服从，也就是说呢，从那以后呢，圣方济哥呢。就允许他们修会的会士们读书了。
Just a little bit after this, Saint Bonaventure became a Franciscan and one of the greatest theologians in the history of the church.
那也就是在这个之后啊，我们教会的一个非常了不起的神学家叫圣文杜拉，他加入了方济哥会之后，就成为在教会历史上的一个。非常了不起的神学家。
If Saint Anthony had not been so humble and so obedient, we would not have the teaching of Saint Bonaventure.
也就是说，如果没有当初圣安多尼的谦卑的这样一个例子的话，恐怕我们教会就不会有像圣文杜拉这样的一个了不起的伟大的神学家。
Now to come to sister's other question about impossible tasks.
Okay. 我们现在再回到就是我们修女问的那个问题的另外一部分啊，就说如果说你认为这个工作你做不了，那怎么办？
And this is actually one of the chapters in the rule of Saint Benedict when a monk is given an impossible task.
这个呢也是在圣本笃会的会规里边就是提到的，关于比如说掌上给工作给这些会士们，他认为自己不能做的是什么样子的。
Saint Benedict says that the monk who receives an impossible task should bring that up with the abbot at an appropriate time.
在会规里边就这么说的啊，当会士，就说你领受了来自院长给你的就是可能的任务的时候，你要把这个带到院长那儿去呢，但是是在适当的时候。
In other words, it's not appropriate for the monk to run and bang on the superior's door and start screaming loudly.
这个意思是什么呢？不是说你认为说这个工作你认为不可能，然后开始的一下子就急了，然后就去会长那儿敲门，就跟他吵。
But the monk should reflect, take some time, and if he feels that the task is impossible, then ask to talk with the superior.
那这要求什么呢？就是要求这位会士。你听到了，就是会长给你这个你认为不可能的这样一个任务哈，然后去慢慢去反省，然后呢
，Can you repeat?
Reflect, take some time.
然后就是用一点时间去慢慢的去反省。
And then talk with the superior.
然后再去找这个掌上去谈。
And Saint Benedict says that he should explain the matter calmly to the superior.
也就是说在这个过程中呢，你去跟这个掌上解释，当然是平静的啊， 去平静地和会长解释你的理由和这件事情的原委。
And the abbot says that the superior should listen carefully and take the matter under consideration.
当然，会长就是在这个过程中应该仔细地聆听你的会士对你说的话和思考他对你所谈的。
And then he says, if the superior insists that he wants the monk to carry out this task, then the monk should humbly accept and do his best.
那在这个过程，假如会长就是还是要坚持让会士去做他命令给你做的事情，所以说会士呢就要谦卑地接受。
Now again, we are only talking about things that are in accord with the constitution.
当然我们这也是
It's accord from constitution.
Yeah, that are.
这也是我们讲的，我们说这个会宪的核心的所在。
So if the abbot commands me to clean the toilets, and I feel that it's impossible, I could follow this procedure.
当然，就像刚才神父也提到了一个这个他讲的这个我们说这个例子啊，比如说这个长上让你说你去清洁厕所，那当然你要服从他，就是按照他给你的这样一个程序去做。
Of course,
这个过程啊。
Of course, it's not impossible for me to clean the toilets.Unless the abbot also commands me to go to China.
那当然，只是举这个例子。你比如现在说神父在这儿上课呢，给我们。那你现在会他的掌上说你刷厕所，给了这样一个命令。假如啊，那除非他说我不是说不听命，我听命我可以回去，但是你必须得有一个人来在这儿上课，那我就可以回去。
And then I might need to explain to the abbot that I cannot clean the toilets in the United States and go to China at the same time.
所以他也这个时候他也可以跟会长解释，你就想想看，说你现在你给我这个命令的话，说我现在在中国呢，我怎么样回到美国去刷厕所呢？我不可能人在中国呢，然后在美国再刷厕所吧？对，当然这是解释他自己的这个理由嘛。
The church also recognizes, and St. Francis teaches this, that there may be times that we feel a command goes against our conscience.
那当然就是教会呢，随着时代的发展，也就去在看啊，就是圣方济各当时的这个他们会规里面所提到的这些东西，是不是说和我们的良心上有一些相悖的东西。
Maybe we are asked to enter into a situation or carry out some ministry that is that's really personally against our conscience.
Can you explain that again? If we say against our conscience.
Yeah, what would be a...
It's hard.
Yeah, maybe asked to... well, let me just leave it at that and not try to give an example,
oh,
but
okay.
Just something that goes against our,
okay.
our conscience. Then...We may have to refuse the command,
mm-hmm.
but the church encourages us still to maintain communion with the community.
Mm-hmm.
因为这一段就是比较复杂啊，所以神父刚才讲的这一句话的意思是呢，你比如说我们，你想留在团体的话。那有时候就是这种服从的这个现实，它会和我们的良心有抵抗的，有抵触的。他现在就是一下子找不到这样一个合适的例子。
So we don't want to break communion, even though in conscience we can't carry out a particular command.
Break what? Communion?
Communion,
with,
yeah.
With who?
With the community.
Okay. In order to remain in the community.
Right.
Okay. 如果说我们想就是留在一个团体的话，但是呢，就是说你也不能因为你对这个，你想想怎么翻译这句话特别难。
Can you repeat it again?
We don't want to break communion with the community.
就是我们不想跟这个团体啊，就是一下就是搞僵了。
In order to, yeah.
因为就是你愿意留在这个团体，但是你不希望说因为就是这种不服从、这种抗拒啊，然后呢，这样你把你自己搞僵了，就大致就是这样一个意思。Yeah.
Good.
But the weak means we have to submit, subject to the commandment of the superior.
No, not no. In the case that, yeah. In conscience, we cannot.
Yeah, we cannot.
We don't want to still break communion. We still want to stay in community.
Yes, yes, this is our real purpose. I want to remain in the community.
Right.
But our conscience doesn't want to.
No. So it's possible to refuse the command and remain in the community.
Okay.
That's the goal. To even if we have to refuse the command. We can still remain in the community.
Okay.
So we want to keep a bond of love even when we can't submit to the obedience.
这个过程什么呢？就是说我们比如在团体里啊，就是你在团体的话，你第一个想在团体里就是停留，就是留下来。同时呢，就是说我们说这个，你又拒绝。 就是服从这样给你的一个命令，这是两个，这是要留在团体，同时呢还要拒绝服从这个命令。但是这个过程，就是我们一定要考虑到，因为我们的存在，就是在团体里，是因为以爱为一个，这就连接点，这才是最重要的。因为什么？就是说你拒绝去服从的话。 你也可以留在团体，对吧？不是说你拒绝服从，你就必须走。但是记得这一点，就是说，因为这个连接，不是因为你留在团体，不是因为你服从和不服从，是因为爱作为一个连接点，你留在团体。这是神父要讲刚才的意思。这个刚才这么讲，清可以了吗？清楚吗？就因为我一开始觉得理解起来就特别困惑。
Yeah, I just make clear, I understand rightly, and give them the right explanation. Yeah. So we can refuse the commandment, but still remain in the community out of love.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We have just a few minutes left if anybody has some questions. And I'll start the afternoon with some of these questions.
这些问题呢，我们下午再回答。那现在留给大家这个时间呢，是现在问问题，好吗？
But if we have any questions on obedience right now,
如果是关于服从的问题，大家可以问任何和它相关的问题。
Everyone is already an expert at obedience.
神父说，我们每一个人在服从上都是专家了啊。
Wonderful.
因为你们，神父就认为你们理解了所有的问题。真的，就是国外的人就这样。如果他上课，给。 给你时间问问题，你不是不问吗？就是你不是不问，就是你没有问题吗？那好，他们就认为你所有的都理解了，理解了。当然，这是我们不存在写东西的问题。如果你也写动的话，写东西的话，那就惨了。他说你不懂，为什么不问？他的其实这不是责怪啊，这是说的是我们文化。如果说你不懂还不问，他就认为你对你自己都不负责任。所以这个就是我们慢慢学会，虽然说不是我们要学国外的文化，那有些这种积极的东西我们也拿自己可以用啊。
Bless you. Okay.
就是我们如何去对待那些在团体当中不服从不愿意参加团体生活的姐妹。
This is this kind of a community life, and how do we treat the members who don't want to participate in the community life and refuse to accept the superior's commandments? That is two parts. This is multifaceted. No community life.And refuse to commandments from the superior.
That's a beautiful question.
Yeah,
very compassionate.
这个也是确确实实就是我们生活中的例子，同时也是觉得就是蛮有同情和爱的这样一个问题。
Yeah, and it's very important too.As we talked about, obedience really depends on trust.
当我们谈到服从的时候，这个和信任是非常相关的。
And I think many times we can see in those members that end up separated from the community that there's a broken trust.
有时候我们会看到啊，你当这个人，我们说团体成员了，他不和团体在一起的时候，事实上就意味着呢，他对团体已经就是不信任。
And this is where a friendship between members in the community can be very important.
这就是为什么我们说在团体之间的这种友谊是这么重要。
Saint Benedict actually has a chapter on sending one of the brothers after a separated brother to win him back.
在圣本读会的会规里面，其中一条就是关于这些的。如果说这个会士，或者说我们的修女也好，就是说会士，当然本读会的会规了。我们说这个会士，他这就离群所居的话，那他就会找另外一个人。你把他带回来。
There are some brothers in my community who trust me more than they trust our abbot.
这神父讲他自己的例子，他们的修会就是其中有一位会士对神父本人的信任远远超过对他们这个会长的信任。
But I trust the abbot and I can help them to trust the abbot.
因为他自己，神父自己就是对会长非常信任，所以呢，他也帮助那些个不信任会长的人，不是不信任会长，就是对会长信任比较少的人，帮助他们这些人去信任会长。
So we want to try and reach out to them in love, to draw them back in.
也就是帮助他们的，就是让自己这个心灵是打开的，那这样呢，就是你把这些人就慢慢的找回来了。
At the same time, we have to know ourselves because somebody who is very negative can negatively affect us.
那这个有时候我们也需要知道自己，因为有的人就是对我们，比如说我们自己啊，可能有些人对你就是很有一种那种我们说就是很消极的那种感觉。
In one case I can think of in my community, there's a member who was very angry with the abbot, but he had a big influence on me.
其中就是讲他们修会的一个人啊，他这个人就对他的会长有意见，反正他是一提到他挺生气的。但是呢，他跟神父个人的关系比较好，但神父呢就是在这个问题上就影响他了很多。
And I knew that I was not strong enough to reach out with him, out to him without losing my own bond with the community.
Sorry.
I knew I was not strong enough to reach out to him.
Does he influence you negatively?
Yeah.
Okay.
这个我听得不准，就是再给大家更正。 刚才就是说他们这个人就对他们的会长特别有意见，经常生气，就是他的这种行为已经就是影响了神父很多，不是神父对他有了影响，影响他很多。然后呢，神父自己就说我知道我自己呢，我也不是那么一个特别强的人，你不可能把他怎么样，就这样意思。
So we need to know ourselves well enough to know whether we can reach out to somebody.
也就是说像这种情况下呢，那你就要知道你自己，你比如说你，他对你影响很大，你就觉得你知道你自己去跟这个人，比如你去接近，你去走向他的时候，有没有这个可能？因为他对你并没有好感。Sometimes
we need to encourage one of the other sisters to reach out instead.
对，像这种情况下什怎么样呢？就是说你知道这种情况，那你就鼓励其他的，比如说可能别人跟他关系比较好。 对吧？所以说，你找另外一个人，你去说，你跟他谈一谈。
Yeah, beautiful question. Thank you.
这个非常好。
Okay, we got a. What's this question?
Disobedience is against a commandment, but if I accept to obedient to obedience to the superior, but I feel very suffering. It's very difficult to accept.
So,
我给大家念这个问题啊，因为大家不知道这个问题问的是什么，不服从就是不听命，服从心里难受。我再就是理解一下这个问题啊，我们说的这个不服从不听命，是我们自己认为的，还是院长就这样认为的？院长说你不服从就是不听命，是这个样子吗？是有这个意思吗？ 但是就说你接受了，你服从了，你心里不舒服，就说等于说是不得不的接受了这样一个命令，是这样意思吗？大家理解，可以吗？可以，OK。Yeah,
I just make sure is the understanding is correct. Yeah.
So we have to make a distinction between what is difficult and causes us suffering, compared to what is against our conscience.
那这两个就是我们要做一个区别，你要区别是什么原因导致你的心理难受。The
two, which one is, what is the cause of suffering? What is another one?
Going against our conscience.
我们说第一个，这是两个问题之间的区别。第一个区别是什么呢？是什么原因导致你心理难受？ 还有就是说，你认为这个不听命是反抗你良心的事情，这两者之间是有不同的。你是觉得你良心不安吗？
It's always reasonable to try and discuss something with a superior.
当然我们说一种合理的方法，那就是说在这种情况下去跟你的长上去谈。
The superior may not know how difficult something is for us.
那可能你的会长不一定知道，就是说你接受了、领受了这个命令之后，你有多么的挑战，多么困难。And
so we can always explain that, try to help the superior understand why the command is so difficult.
你这个解释呢，就会帮助他去理解为什么他给你发的这个命令对你来说是那么的困难。But
if the superior insists that this is something we need to carry out, then we need to turn to Christ for strength.
那这种情况，假如这个会长他还是要坚持你去做的话， 那这种情况你就要啊，就叫接受这样一个任务，而且呢就是自己呢只能向耶稣去哭喊了。
Yeah. You can see how that worked out for him. It's
所以说我们看看就是十字架上的耶稣是什么样的。
But Jesus saved the world not by being a successful preacher, but by suffering and dying under obedience.
所以说我们说基督拯救世界啊，他并不是依靠着说我对世界的宣讲拯救的，而是在十字架上的被钉拯救的世界。
And so if he is inviting us to share in this ministry of redemption, then we should accept that with gratitude.
所以呢，耶稣就是邀请我们去分担他的使命和服务。
And this is a really a very
去接受我们生命中的
this is
使命。
A very intimate union with him in prayer when we suffer out of obedience.
所以当我们谈到就是因为服从我们感到痛苦的时候，那可能就恰恰是我们和基督结合的时候。
Good. Okay, why don't we pray midday prayer?
Okay, 那我们现在